Good morning, FPC. My name is Elena Spencer, and today I'm going to play for you the Allemande from Bach's Unaccompanied Partita Number 2 for Violin.
Oh my gosh, that was so wonderful. Thank you so much for that lovely Bach piece. Oh, that was a great start. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to First Parish Church of Stowe and Acton. This is FPC to our members and friends. We are a welcoming spiritual community. My name is Katie Weeks, and I'm gonna make myself the speaker thingy, the spotlight. So there we go. And I serve as the president of the Board of Trustees for FPC, and Reverend Cindy Landrum is our minister, and she is with us today virtually. If this is your first time here, we welcome you. We invite you to check out our webpage, which is fpc-stow-acton.org for news and information. When we can all meet together physically again, you're also welcome to sign our guest book and take literature from the church life table at our coffee hours. Following the service, for those who are joining us by video or phone, you're invited to join us for a virtual coffee hour where we will arbitrarily put you in a small group with 4 to 6 other people who you can chat with. Our virtual coffee hour discussion groups will last about 15 minutes, and those in our parking lot are invited to get out and chat with each other at the end of the service, provided, please, 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 that you maintain your social distance of at least 6 feet and you don't gather in groups of larger than 10 on any portion of the campus. Reverend Cindy will also invite you to honk your horns at the end of the postlude. Children are welcome in our service today. For more information on religious education gatherings and events, please contact our Director of Religious Education, Michelle Cote. You can find information about her on the church's website. Here are our major announcements. The Board of Directors has extended the dates that we will be holding virtual Sunday services at 10 a.m. throughout the first Sunday in May, given the state of the COVID-19 pandemic, and we'll reassess this at our meeting in late April. The sanctuary and all other FPC buildings are closed, but you will be able to attend the service via Zoom link, which is published on our website, and to our members via our email list, or you can drive to the church parking lot and tune your FM radio to 107.7. Many committees and groups are meeting via Zoom. Please check with the chair of your group to find out what their plans are. In addition, we have many programs being created that we're scheduling periodically via Zoom. Please check your FPC announce emails and other FPC forum for those details. And now we begin our service with an introit by Michael Merrill and Quincy Sprague.
Bright morning stars are rising. Bright morning stars are rising. Bright morning stars are rising. Day is a breaking in my soul. And where are our dear fathers? Oh, where are our dear fathers? They're down in the valley a praying. Day is a breaking in my soul. And where are our dear mothers? Oh, to heaven a shouting. Day is a breaking in my soul. Bright morning stars are rising. Bright morning stars are rising. Bright morning stars are rising. Day is a breaking in my soul.
Thank you. That was beautiful. These words for calling us to worship are ones I crafted for this time, but inspired from an old Kenneth Patton reading in our hymnal, borrowing some whole phrases for it while changing others. We arrive, coming together to worship, reaching out from many singular rooms, from cars, from phones and computers. We come to be reassured that there is still community in our isolation, to see each other's faces, to restore their images on our eyes, and to hear their voices once again in our ears. We can't join our voices in common song or common speech the same way we once did, but we share common words and common melodies at the same time, that we might still feel that connecting thread weaving us all together. We find once again that community can be felt in the midst of solitude. Our eyes reclaim the remembered faces. Their voices stir the surrounding air. The warmth of their smiles reassures us, and the gladness of our spoken names. This is the reason of worship, of assembling together, the connection, the community, the care that reaches out. It is good to be with one another. And now I'm going to invite Ingrid to light our chalice and share some chalice lighting words. And I'm also going to light a chalice here in the office, or actually Peter's going to light it for me.
The chalice lighting today is from Alice and Acheka Naisman. In a time of uncertainty, when everything around us is changing constantly, each day new developments, rising numbers, changing guidelines, when the world we live in suddenly seems upside down and topsy-turvy, there we go, we light our chalice to remind ourselves of our grounding in our faith. We remember that the flaming chalice came into being as a beacon of hope during World War II, a secret symbol that offered help. In the midst of it all, we wrap ourselves in the warm light of a familiar flame, a reminder of the strength that emerges when we come together in community.
Please join us in singing hymn number 112, Do You Hear? The words are printed in your electronic order of service, and then we will go to our covenant and affirmation.
Friend, in the place where you stand, through the sky, through the land, do you hear, do you hear? In the heights, on the plain, in the vale, on the main, in the sun, in the rain, do you hear, do you hear? Through the roar, through the rush, through the throng, through the crush, do you hear in the hush of your soul, of your soul? Hear the cry, fear won't still, hear the heart's call to will, hear a sigh's startling trill in your soul, in your soul. From the place where you stand to the outermost strand, do you hear, oh my friend, do you hear, do you hear? All the dreams, all the dares, all the sighs, all the prayers, they are yours, mine and theirs, do you hear, do you here. From all that dwell below the skies, let words of love and peace arise. Let joyful songs of praise be sung. through every land, by every town.
And now our Director of Religious Education, Michelle Cote, is going to share a message for all ages.
Good morning, everyone. So I'm wondering, by a thumbs up, how many of you are starting to feel a little bored at home, feeling like things are just never going to change? If you feel that way, put a thumbs up. I bet a lot of you are feeling like that. So I read this story this week called The Magic Vase. And it's about a poor family who lived in a drab little house in the neglected part of the city. They tried to be a happy family, but times were hard and jobs were not easy to come by. As time went on, they began to feel more and more depressed. And you could even see their depression etching itself on the house they lived in. They didn't bother to clean the windows. They didn't tend the little patch of garden in front of their house. The paint was peeling off their door and cracks were appearing in the brickwork. One day, the eldest son of the family was roaming idly through the town and he came upon a marketplace. The stall holders had set up their wares and there was a bustle of activity. In spite of his feelings of near despair, the boy found himself being caught up in the excitement of the morning market. He stopped to watch the people buying fruit and vegetables, freshly baked bread, and tempting cakes. He noticed the line at the fish stall and took a deep breath of pleasure as he passed the stall of fresh summer flowers. But the stall that attracted him most was a little second-hand stall, tucked away. He had never noticed this stall before. He stopped to investigate it. And there, hidden away in the back part of the store in the market, he noticed a beautiful vase. He fingered the coins in his pocket. He had just enough to meet the very low cost of the vase, but there would be nothing left over. Ah, well, he thought to himself, why not? Even if we have a few lean days, I'm going to buy this vase. Mom will love it. Everyone will love it. And he handed over the contents of the pocket. Of his pocket to the man behind the counter. As he wrapped the vase in brown paper, the stall holder said to the boy, "Enjoy it, won't you? And treat it well, because it is a magic vase." With these mysterious words ringing in his ear, the lad went off home proudly carrying his purchase. Everyone at home was delighted with the vase, and no one got angry at him for spending his last few coins on it. Quite the opposite, in fact. In fact, when Dad saw the vase, he realized how shabby the room was, and he went to the cellar, got out some paintbrushes, and gave the room a makeover. And when the younger son saw how nice the room looked with its fresh coat of paint, he fetched a bucket of water and washed all the windows for the first time in years. When the third son looked out at the bright new windows, he realized what a state the garden was in and went outside to dig it over. When the youngest son saw the newly dug garden, he planted seeds in the flower bed and watered them lovingly all through the spring. Soon summer came, and the baby daughter of the family went out to play in the garden. She noticed that flowers had grown from the seeds, and she gathered a bunch of them to give to her mother. "Here are some pretty flowers, Mommy," she said, "because we love you." Her mom was overjoyed. With tears rising in her eyes and a lump in her throat, she put the flowers in the magic vase. So this week, I challenge all of you, kids, grown-ups, families, and people living individually, to find something in your house that can be a magic vase, that will spark that feeling of, I can do something different this week, or I can make something better. Certainly, I hope you all made your hearts last week to put outside. If you didn't, there's still lots of time to make more hearts, to thank all those people working for us. So this week, may it be a magic vase week for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle, for that message. Our words of prayer or meditation today come from Linda Susan Ulrich. Linda Susan is the associate minister in Ann Arbor and someone who I've known for a few years, and she calls this a blessing of the hands in a time of pandemic. Bless these hands that hold the health of those who come through our doors. Bless these hands that hold the health of those who come through our doors. Bless these hands that shelter and protect the vulnerable among us. Bless these hands working to stop the spread of fear as well as illness. lest these hands that mirror the love and compassion within each of our hearts. Bless these hands that shimmer with wonder at the way life flows through our bodies. Bless these hands that connect with others no matter what the distance. Bless these hands that you may stay safe as you labor on behalf of the entire community. Amen. And now Mike is going to share one of my favorite hymns. This is My Life Flows On in Endless Song.
Please join us in singing number 108. The words are printed in your order of service.
My life flows on in endless song, above earth's lamentation. I hear the real, though far off hymn, that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear the music ringing. It sounds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? What though the tempest round me roars, I know the truth it liveth. What though the darkness round me close, songs in the night it giveth. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love prevails in heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? When tyrants tremble as they hear the bells of freedom ringing, when friends rejoice both far and near, how can I keep from singing? To prison cell and dungeon vile, our thoughts to them are ringing. When friends by shame are undefiled, how can I keep from singing?
Susie O'Brien is now going to share a reading with us. This is Liberation by Adrienne Marie Brown.
Small. The ripple still reaches the shore. When we meet, you are a stranger, but I know you. And you become beloved. The days are all too heavy, and then we lift together. We need everything to be different, so we change, change, and change. I thought this was too shattered, but I am whole, we are whole, this is whole. We seek a way through to heaven, we find we each have our own way.
This is the time in our service when we share our offering. Those who are able to give and donate to the church and to the organization we share our plate with each month, your gifts are right now doubly important, and we have double gratitude for them because, as you know, many people are struggling right now. And so, of course, giving to institutions like ours is a luxury that we can sometimes afford and sometimes cannot. And so churches are struggling, and we are so grateful for those who can continue to give. There are several different ways you can do so. One is by clicking the donation link on our website. It's at the bottom of our website. If you scroll down, it's FPC, our URL/donate. And then there's a text to give number in your orders of service, and then you can also mail your donations to us. This month, our plate sharing is with Rhea House. And to tell you more about that, Diane Miller is going to join us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Diane Miller, one of the founding mothers of Rhea House. We've all been tucked away safely since the pandemic started. There are hundreds, probably thousands of women who are not safe. And why is that? They have been trafficked and sexually exploited. They have repeatedly been bought and sold. This is unlike a drug epidemic where the drug will be used just once. These victims are used over and over again. Join me in supporting Rhea House, whose goal is to help women take back their lives and contribute today. Thank you.
We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle around to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change of life from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now, and what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change alive from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now, and what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change alive from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. Into the well. It is time now, and what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love.
Yay.
Thanks.
Bye. Bam, bam, bam.
That was the Thrive Choir covering my muse's song. And thanks, Mike, for sharing that video and getting permissions for us to use it today. A few months ago, I was sharing with you a favorite book of mine, a favorite picture book of mine. It's Henry Climbs a Mountain. And I'm going to share screen for those of you who have screens today. And Henry Climbs a Mountain, it tells the story of Henry David Thoreau through the character of a bear, and it tells the story of how he was going to the shoemaker, but he was instead derailed from that journey and put in jail for the night because of not paying his taxes. And while he's in jail, in this story, he looks out at the walls of his cell and he imagines himself climbing up a mountain. And the rest of the story shows his journey of imagination up the mountain. And this song, this story came to me this week, in this, you know, sometimes it feels almost like we're in prison right now, in this quarantine, and we're limited in where we can go. But it's actually something possible to do, to travel in our minds to wherever we want to be. It also brought to mind to me the old hymn, Die Gedanken sind frei, which is an old German song about freedom of thought. It's a song that's been used to protest against oppressive regimes such as resistance against the Nazis. And Die Gedanken sind frei means my thoughts are free. We talk about my thoughts freely flower wherever I want to go. My thoughts are free. I can be jailed. I can be quarantined. My thoughts will go where I want. Both Henry's Climbing Up the Mountain and Die Gedanken sind frei, obviously, have been coming to me this last week because of this quarantine. And though, of course, this is not nearly the same as being imprisoned, not by a long shot. We're doing this voluntarily. We're doing this for our own health. We can go outside whenever we wish. We can still travel freely within our borders for the most part. But the core message of these two pieces, that our thoughts and minds are free, still has deep resonance right now. And the other thing that kept coming to mind this week was that song that we just heard by Ma Muse. In this great turning, we shall learn to lead with love. Some of you may remember that this fall I preached about the fourth turning, the generational theory of Strauss and Howe, that says our greater culture goes through a four-generational cycle called the four turnings that are cyclical. We go through these four cycles again and again. And so the high turning of the 1950s was a time when we were establishing civic order and strengthening volunteerism and creating social safety nets. And then we had an awakening turning where we had an upheaval of the social order, the social justice movements of the 60s and 70s. And each one of these movements lasts about a generation. And then in the 1980s and 90s, we were in the unraveling turning. We couldn't see that maybe as strongly, but the world sometimes felt like it was unraveling, pulling apart those social safety nets. We undid some of the protections we had put in place. The World Trade Centers fell. Institutions were weakened. And now we're in that fourth turning period, the crisis period. As I said last fall, the last crisis period was the Great Depression, and it felt a little hyperbolic when I was talking about this in November, perhaps, that we were in a great crisis period that is this fourth turning before we come into another awakening period. But it's pretty clear now, this is a crisis period. We're in that fourth turning. We're at the apex of it, I hope. The thing about the four turnings is that it's helpful and hopeful. The next period will be a great awakening again. Environmental activist and author Joanna Macy also talks about a period she calls the Great Turnings. She looks at the Great Turnings as periods in time where we had dramatic change in our society. One of those periods was the Industrial Revolution. We can look back at it with the lens of history and know that that was a time of great change, a great turning. She believes we're in a great turning now, a great awakening, where we're going to change the course of the destruction for the earth. There will be a shift in consciousness, she says. Whether you think we're in Strauss and Howe's cycle of turnings or Joanna Macy's great turning, I think it's helpful to think that this is a period that is a precursor to dramatic change. And a spiritual thought of ours during this time can be to take these free thoughts of ours and imagine that future that we want to bring into being. It can be liberating for the spirit to think about what possibilities can come out of this time of crisis. This week, Karen Johnston, a UU minister in New Jersey, wrote a wonderful article for the UUA titled Spiritual Practice, Spiral Spiritual Practice in the Time of Corona. I recommend it to you. It's available on the UUA's web. If you Google like COVID or Corona and spiral, it'll pop up for you, I think. In this article, she points to that Joanna Macy great turning, but she also points to an article in Politico magazine titled Coronavirus Will Change the World Permanently. Here's how. And in that article, 30 thinkers share how they think the world will change. It's a wonderful exercise in imagination. Mark Lawrence Schrad, a political scientist, imagines that we will redefine patriotism as not just being about those on the military front lines, but to understand true patriotism is also about those on the front lines of fighting infectious disease and those who are teaching our children. Peter T. Coleman, psychology professor at Columbia University, imagines our country will become less polarized as we work together against this common enemy. There were lots, of course, lots of predictions for technology and medicine and government, particularly around how we hold elections, but also predictions for cooking trends and predictions for a revitalized understanding of the importance of parkland. Archon Fung at the Kennedy School at Harvard envisions a new civic federalism in which, he says, states and localities become centers of justice, solidarity, and far-sighted democratic problem-solving. Amy Sullivan of Vote Common Good spent time imagining how worship will look different from now on. From now on, saying, all faiths have dealt with the challenge of keeping faith alive under the adverse conditions of war or diaspora or persecution, but never all faiths at the same time. Religion, she says, religion in the time of quarantine will change conceptions of what it means to minister and to fellowship. I can say for myself that I feel like the conception of ministry, of church, of faith have been stripped to their core for me in ways that are profound and ways that are life-changing. What it means to hold community, to lead worship, to be a church has never been so clear, and it's the same as it always was, and yet it is profoundly different and forever changed. So I invite you in this time of quarantine to spend some time envisioning the world that you want to bring into being. It can be something you envision for the whole larger world, or it can be turning about that one slice of this earth that is your own life and thinking about what comes next. What do you want to see happen in the great turning? Because things will change. And this is an opportunity to bend the arc towards justice. I'm going to conclude today by sharing my conclusion from September. I was quoting the modernist poets and T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland, which says, turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. During this crisis age, what can we do? We articulate the old ideas and the new. We work to strengthen governments and institutions and rebuild the safety net that we need during this time of crisis. We work to bend the arc towards justice. We lead with love. We shall be known as the ones who sow and reap. We shall be known by the promises we keep. In this great turning, we can learn to lead with love. May it be so. Our closing hymn is another one of imagining beyond the four walls of imprisonment. And this is I Wish I Knew How, and Mike is going to share it with us.
I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all these chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things I could say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole world to hear. sing loud, sing clear, for the whole world to hear. I wish I could share all the love in my heart. Remove all the bars that still keep us apart. I wish you could know what it means to be me. Then you'd see and agree, everyone should be free. Then you'd see and agree, everyone should be free. I wish I could give all I'm longing to give. I wish I could live like I'm longing to live. I wish I could do all the things I can do. Though I'm way overdue, I'd be starting anew. Though I'm way overdue, I'd be starting anew. I wish I could be like a bird in the sky. How sweet it would be if I found I could fly. I'd soar to the sun and look down at the sea. Then I'd sing, 'cause I'd know how it feels to be free. Then I'd sing, 'cause I'd know how it feels to be free.
Until we are together again, friends, be well. Be strong. Help one another. Keep love's banner floating o'er you. Carry it with you. Share it wherever you can. Amen.
Peace be with you till we meet again. As life lays its task before you, keep love's banner floating o'er you. Peace be with you till we meet again.